We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hour number three, Mark Inhart on WEEI. We're talking about the Josh Gordon situation. Everybody wants to chime in on that, what that means for the Patriots, what that means. And Andy, will you please go ahead and read the quote by Mr. Kevin Duffy from the Boston Herald about what Bill Belichick said regarding the Josh Gordon situation?
Yeah, this is now out there for everybody. They're all reporting it. Mike Reese and our own Ryan Hannibal has put it on WEI.com.
The Cannibal.
Quote, "For the past 8 months, Josh's situation has been entirely a league matter. When Josh returns to our program, we will evaluate the entire situation and do what we feel is best for Josh and the team." So I don't know if that's Bill sort of saying, hey, I know he's reinstated, but don't just assume he's lining up and starting against the Steelers on September 8th for the opener, right? Like, there's a process here. This doesn't automatically mean he's a Patriot. Now, I think he'll be a Patriot. I think they want him back. I think they care for him personally, and I think we talked about it. He seems like everybody he comes across likes him and embraces him. But I think Bill is saying, let's just relax. Let's not say, you know, championship, as the old commercial used to say, because Josh Gordon's been reinstated.
I'd be stunned
if he's not here, wouldn't you? Came out next week, Josh Gordon cut by the Patriots, that would stun me.
Yeah, it would stun me too. But then again, you never know. The one thing you want to make sure is that this guy has his head right. Not only physically, his body, emotionally, mentally, this is a disease, folks. I have gotten to learn, especially just not only Chris Curtis, what he talked about last December, but just in general, hearing about people talk that this overcomes you. It's bigger than you. It's something that it's a constant struggle every single day. But the one thing I will say is that I don't trust Josh Gordon. I don't trust him. And, you know, I said this before, I'll say it again. I'm just being honest. Based on his track record, I don't think he makes it this entire season all the way into the playoffs with the Patriots without having a relapse. I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. But I don't trust him. And I don't know how anyone can trust him. I don't know. And Andy, you said this. I don't know if he trusts himself.
He
probably doesn't, so we don't know. So the odds, and I'm a betting man, are stacked against Josh Gordon. I hope this is the thing that, to quote the late, great Jim Morrison, the greatest American band of all time, The Doors, he can break on through to the other side.
Okay, so I just want to clarify. He did actually, he was on the Browns his rookie season for 16 games. So his first year, 2012, 16-game season. 14 games a year later, that was the All-Pro 1,600-yard season, then 5-14, then missed 15, missed 16, 5 games in 17, 12 games a year ago, 11 of those in New England, where he arrives late and leaves early, essentially, catches 40 passes, becomes part of the offense. But I will call out some people, sort of the super fan type, where no matter what, they're going to spin it as a positive for the Patriots. If you recall last year when when Josh Gordon arrived, it was a positive. When Josh Gordon left, it was a positive. They got back to their roots of dink and dunk offense, so it's always a positive. So I don't know how I can ever take what you say seriously. Is it a positive or is it a negative that Josh Gordon's back? Is he going to take balls from Julian Edelman and they aren't going to be dink and dunk anymore and Brady's going to force it to him down the field? Or is it a positive? I happen to think it's a positive because I think it diversifies the passing attack. I don't think you had enough receivers, but you know, there's a certain group that no matter what happens when he gets cut midseason, that'll also be a positive. It'll always be a positive.
Yeah, I will say this, and I'm sure Bill Belichick will lay down the law with him literally and figuratively, that this is it for me from a Patriots standpoint, that maybe Roger Goodell is a soft spot for you, and if you, you know, mess up again here, there'll be another chance for you down the road. But from the New England Patriots standpoint, the next time you mess up here will be the last time you mess up here. I don't want, there's too many times, he's had too many chances, and at this juncture, from the New England Patriots standpoint, This is a zero tolerance policy. What Bob Knight got at Indiana before the end of him, this is what Josh Gordon should have now with the Patriots.
And I wonder how that exactly plays out, because clearly Jack Easterby was a part of this last year.
That's right.
As an advisor or whatever you want to call him. And I got to think Bill has now somebody else that is advising him in these areas. Because if it's just football, you know, if it's what defense to run against this offense, Bill knows it. I don't need an advisor. I can make that decision. But how to deal with Josh Gordon? Because maybe you're not supposed to say certain words you just said. Maybe when he sits down with Josh Gordon, an advisor, somebody who works as a counselor or somebody who works in this, would say, don't say zero tolerance. Don't put pressure on him.
Okay.
Because pressure, you know what I mean? And I don't know how that would work. And maybe Bill says, nope, screw it. He's going to have to deal with pressure here. If he can't deal with pressure in the first meeting, then we'll get it out of the way quickly. But I bet you there's some advisor who's telling him sort of how to handle it, what to say, the way they're going to go about it. And I don't know who that is at this point.
617-779-7937. And remember, let's go back to last season when Josh Gordon was here. He was fine on the field. He did everything. He was a great locker room guy, positive influence all around. Edelman, Tom Brady, everybody will swear by this guy. But during the bye week, which was the week November 18th, exactly, I'm looking at right now, he lost security. And then the Patriots had to part ways with him on December 20th. So,
and do you remember the details of that, too, which was a little weird?
Yeah.
Early in the morning, he either tweeted or Instagrammed, you know, I need to take a break for a while to get my life right, my mind right, and whatever. And then come to find out, no, you're not taking a break. No. The NFL told you to take a break. We found out like an hour later that the NFL was suspending him. But it was even weird in that situation where he wasn't exactly up front with what was going on. He could have said, unfortunately, I failed a test. I'm now suspended again. So that's pushing me. I got to get my life right. What? It's almost like he was kind of, he knew the suspension was coming, but he portrayed it in a weird way on social media.
Yeah, you want accountability is everything. 617-779-7937. A lot of people want to chime on this. One line open. This is weird. This is anonymous. That's what you want to go by in Waltham. Go ahead, anonymous.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a couple statements. You know, I work for an organization that helps people with the opioid addiction problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then he hung up. I didn't do that to him. So, Anonymous, you can call back in.
How will we know it's him?
He's anonymous.
Good anonymous joke there.
Mike in Connecticut. Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So, full disclosure before I talk about this subject, even though I would be what you would call more of like a right-leaning moderate, I'm actually left-leaning when it comes to marijuana. I think it should be completely legalized across the board. I think it should be regulated in the same way that alcohol and tobacco are. For the medicinal purposes, it shows that it works. You know, friends of mine that have had cancer have completely, you know, gone into remission strictly from the use of THC and CBD. I think it's not dangerous. All the scare tactics from the 80s are being proven to be completely false. It does help with pain relief. So I am full-blown pro-legalization of marijuana. I think it would help a lot of issues, but just particularly when it comes to Josh Gordon, it's stupid now to have it banned. However, when it comes to these subjects, I'm not an alcoholic. You know, I did like to have, you know, like the party drinks and everything, but I haven't touched anything in about 5 or 6 years just because I made a choice, and I'm kind of getting sick and tired of seeing this like fake victim mentality that people have. Everybody makes individual choices, whether they're good or bad. They're your own individual chois. Thomas Sowell, one of the great educators in this country, kind of had a great speech about it. But he, you know, basically every decision you make is your own. So if you choose as an individual to pick up a beer and drink it, that is your own individual choice. There's no outside mystical force. There's no Dr. Strange sitting behind you lifting that drink up and dumping it down your throat. If you make the choice to go out and drink and drive, that is your individual choice. All right. So for people to sit here and try and act like it even have the gall to compare it to cancer or AIDS or just something that, you know, kind of can just come on from almost from nothing sometimes, I think that's disgraceful, and I think it's disgusting. And it's not only just like with alcohol and drugs, but it just seems like it's a big societal issue where individual responsibility is kind of going to the wayside, and everybody wants to blame their problems on somebody else. Oh, boo-hoo, woe is me. It's systemic this. It's societal this. Oh, I can't possibly be expected to, be held responsible for my own individual decisions. It's not my fault that I crashed that car after 30 beers. It's Budweiser's fault. It's, you know, the bar's fault.
You know, by the way, I agree with everything you just said. Just first of all, I want to say this too on a separate note, and not to go into this, that, listen, we've had some horrific fatalities recently in El Paso, Texas, in Toledo, Ohio. And, you know, and people want to talk about, you know, banning. And sure, assault rifles, nuts. But you got to understand, those guns didn't go there on their own. It was somebody who was deranged who decided to pick those guns up and cause those fatalities. Right. They didn't do it on their own. Right.
Exactly. No, just like no gun has ever sprouted legs and walked up and shot somebody on its own, no alcoholic beverage has sprouted legs, jumped up, forced.
Wait a minute, though. Wait. What percentage of the population has never had a drink?
I don't know. I mean,
don't most people at some point in the age between the age of 13 and 23 try alcohol?
Yeah,
I mean, I would venture to say the percentage is pretty high.
I would say right over 85-90%. Sure.
So they're supposed to know that I'm an alcoholic and I can't do what the other 99.9999% are doing. Mike,
it's a good point. I mean, it's a good point, but still, but what you're doing is, when you take away the individual responsibility of what these people do and start laying the blame on everybody else, it's irresponsible.
But there is some blame elsewhere, because there is something called societal pressure. There is something called peer pressure. That's a real thing.
Kind of like a buzzword.
Right. So you don't think there's peer pressure?
You can say no.
Yeah, exactly. But why? But why? When 98% of you can drink it and just have a drink and move on and go to the rest of your lives. These people are predisposed to an addiction.
People that are full-blown alcoholics. Now, what I'm saying is, when you're younger and your friend's like, hey, you want a beer? Ready? No. See how quick that was?
Right.
No.
But why should they have to do that when no one else has to? They don't know they're an alcoholic yet.
Nobody has to drink.
No, that's not my point.
Nobody has to pick up an alcoholic beverage.
That's not my point.
But that is what your point. You're saying, why should they have to?
So you don't do scratch tickets, right?
I mean, on random occasion.
Okay, because you're not addicted. Are there people that are addicted to that?
Okay, but again, they could just stop.
Right, but what if you couldn't, Mike? You tried scratch tickets. You could be an addict. You could be losing your home because you're addicted to gambling and scratch tickets. You didn't know you weren't when you scratched it for the first time.
That's a cop-out. That is a ridiculous.
It's not a cop-out. It's called reality.
Make the individual decision to not do it. And
you made the decision to scratch that ticket for the first time. It's great that you're not predisposed to being a gambling addict. You could have been. So you're a bad person for making that decision?
No, I'm not saying they're bad people. What I'm saying is, don't lay the blame.
They don't know they're addicts when they make the decision, just like none of us do. And a large portion of us are fortunate we are not addicts.
Mike,
it doesn't ruin our lives. For a small portion or some portion, it does.
Mike, do you believe that this is a disease?
No, I don't believe that alcoholism
is a disease. Not in the sense of cancer or AIDS.
Wait, but is cancer a disease? If you do it that way, if someone gets lung cancer from smoking, is that a disease? Or did they get it from smoking? They made a decision to smoke a cigarette.
Well, that's what Mike said.
If they get heart failure because they ate too many Twinkies throughout their lives, if they get type 2 diabetes, are those diseases? They made decisions that led in part or in whole to their disease.
It's a very
so we're
point.
Removing all these diseases? I don't know why I'm getting so worked up, but I'm going to be honest with you. Mike kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Okay. Wow. I like when it fired up.
No, I don't understand. Everybody is going to try alcohol. You can be a naive parent and say, not my kid. My kid will never take a beer or this. They're going to. And you cross your damn fingers and hope they're not alcoholics and it doesn't ruin their high school or their college. They start binge drinking. They fail out of college. But it happens. They're supposed to be so mature and so smart like Mike, who admits that he does scratch tickets. Maybe he's even dabbled in sports betting. Is he addicted? No. Doesn't sound like he is. He doesn't have that personality. He's not predisposed to it. But he thinks everybody else should say no. So everybody has to say no, because you don't know when you say yes if you're an addict. Correct?
Yeah.
So everybody has to say no. Just say no. The original drug line, right? But you have to say it for alcohol, too. So put all the alcohol out of business. Every bar goes out of business because nobody's ever drinking. Once everybody says no, there's no alcohol. Right, Mike? That's the answer, Mike. Good call, Mike.
John,
you got me fired up, so it sort of was a good call.
It was a good call. John and Gardner. Go ahead, John. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking it. Hey, you know, I've heard it said that while I may not be responsible for my disease, I am responsible for my recovery. A few calls ago, a fellow was having a hard time and struggling. It sounds trite, but you got to just keep trying. And you hope that eventually the key turns. Andy, I must give you a compliment. I hope I'm not coming across as a shameless suck-up, but you got as good a handle on this for a non-alky addict as anybody I've ever heard. So, good on you.
Well, thank you. As I said earlier, I have witnessed it in my personal life, so that probably plays a little bit of a role. And I also feel very fortunate. You know, Mike, what Mike just said, if Mike was right, because I have enough people in my family, father, grandfathers, that were had issues with alcohol and substances, brothers, that I should have never, ever had a beer in my life, ever. But I did, and I'm fortunate that I feel like I have the ability to drink responsibly. When I go to the beach, I can have a few beers and have a nice time. And you know what I also feel like? I think there's some responsibility as a parent there to show kids you can have a couple beers. It's not like this fearful thing. Show them how to drink responsibly. You can be a social drinker, have a few beers. And then you can also, they come across people that every time we go to this party or this family reunion, that guy's always hammered and stumbling and whatever. That's not responsible. Right. So they can see both sides of it. But thank you for the compliment, John.
And, you know, I was among other things I was going to say there's no absolutes, kind of along the line of what you were saying about recovery. But then I thought of one. You know what that is? I've been fortunate, very fortunate. My last go-round was over 33 years ago. But I'll tell you what, I went to my first meeting approximately 5 years before that. So what's the point of that? I didn't take to it like a duck to water right off the bat. Most of us do not. There's a resistance. And what it boils down to, at some point, I was not willing to pay the price of the negative consequences I was putting myself through by drinking and drugging. You know what I mean? So if one is fortunate in their recovery, they find that, hey, I'm not only avoiding these negative consequences, but holy cow, those two daughters that I was having trouble getting back on track with, hey, our relationship is coming back. You know, I got a positive feedback from my recovery. You know, the wife, I'm getting along better with the wife.
You know,
holy cow.
John, and again, we're up against it. The one thing I will say is that I forgot his name, but the caller who called in last 45 minutes said, and my daughters have pleaded with me and said, Dad, can you please just get sober, get clean? And he's like, I can't give that to him. And that was sort of an eye opener for me. Like wow, like this thing.
Right.
And I think Mike was trying to just say it's not like someone who's, you know, like like a kid who's hit with cancer. Like you can't compare it to that. I see what he was saying, but it is a disease.
Yeah.
It is a disease. And it might start first with a choice that you make, and then it becomes so encompassing that you don't have the choice. It's beyond your control. So it starts first with a choice. Like you said, people get lung cancer because they smoke all their lives. It started with a choice. They picked up cigarettes and they never stopped. They were chewing tobacco, whatever. But it's like he's saying, don't put it as someone like, you know, a child who's 3 years old and stricken with cancer. And like, don't put it to that. And said, so I see where he's coming
from.
But
no one has. I mean, no one would say that.
Well, I think what he was saying is that a lot of people are painting Josh Gordon as a victim here.
Well, he's a victim of his own body and his own.
Right.
And I would also probably say a victim of his youth. And his family and his, you know,
and
how he grows up.
And this is something that's been going on
you
now.
You can be victimized by a variety of things in your life. You know, for example, you get a lot of NFL players that come from single family homes or, God forbid, their father was murdered or, you know, troubled like that. And, you know, 8 out of 10, there are these great redemption stories, right? They turn it around. They find a way. They find a mentor and a coach and they make it to the NFL and they're these great, outstanding human. Well, then a couple of them are just, they're screwed up. You know, Terry Glenn battled demons after the things he saw. But not everybody would have responded the same way as Terry Glenn. He was clearly predisposed and then faced factors in his life that led him down a path that was not ideal.
A guy who was one of my favorite players in Major League Baseball, Dwight Gooden, he still, 30-plus years later, is dealing with his demons. Like, recently came out that he got arrested in New Jersey for, you know, a DUI, and then again, like a month later, he's still to this day And he was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, and I'm like, oh, it was so sad that, like you were saying, he is the minority that it hasn't been the fairy tale ending that we wanted it to be. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. All right, 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
This is James and Hart on WEEI.
Mark and Hart.
Now back to today's Hillman.
Dude, boy, you're on a roll here today, Nick. You are on a roll, dude. Wow.
There is no Hillman Morning Show.
You can't blame that on... that was a WAAF.
I heard the opening riff for the song, so I put it in there. I figured you'd be back by then, and it's just, I don't know what that was.
Dude, I can't blame that one on Joe. You're going to have to take some accountability on that one.
It's preseason for producers, too.
Yeah, it definitely is. Man, woof. Man, you're making Rafael Devers at third base look like Brooks Robinson. Jesus. 617.
Unnecessary shot at our superstar third baseman.
No, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's one of the only bright spots in the Dead Sox
this year.
So why'd
you take a shot at him?
He's awesome. I that guy's already...
You want to apologize? Sorry.
No. He's just bad at the field. But the pros way outweigh the cons.
Yes.
I mean, he's already one of the top five hitters in baseball.
And how old is he?
What's he, like 23?
22, I think.
Pretty
sure he'll get better defensively as we go on.
Yeah. And he came in the season. He and Xander Bogaerts are above and beyond any criticism of the 2019 Red Sox. I will not say a bad word about either one of them. Everybody else, forget about it. But them, they are good.
Just them?
Just them. 617-779-7937. No, I'm saying,
Vasquez. Had a really good year.
He's been okay. At times, leaves a little desired behind the plate. At the plate, great. Behind the plate,
okay.
You know.
So really, Bogaerts is the only one that you have no qualms with.
I don't have any qualms
in
with
the
Devers
field.
Either.
Well, yeah, you just mocked him in the field a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't have any qualms with Devers or Bogaerts. Let's just. All I know is this. Hart, I'm going to say this. A week ago on Thursday night, the Angels were in town. Mike Trout, best player of this generation. And Albert Pujols, future Hall of Famer, and they got tripled in the ratings by the Patriots, who were playing the Lions with no Tom Brady,
yep,
no Julian Edelman, and no Rob Gronkowski.
Football, like cash, is king.
And tonight, you and I both have stated that we believe Brady probably will play at least a couple of series.
God,
I think he's
so.
Going to play. So tonight... Against the Orioles, I would venture to say it's going to be a bloodshed tonight in the TV ratings.
It probably will be. It should be. We love football. Football's almost here, as you said.
It's
next weekend. College football's here.
The 150th college football season will kick off in Orlando. I will be there.
Is that true?
Yeah, Miami and Florida. It's the 150th college football season. Yes,
it coincides with the 100th NFL season.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, every once in a while you say something that I learned from.
Yeah, and also news, I know everybody in the New England audience was dying on. Miami and Florida agreed to a series in 2024 and 2025, so I know you can all sleep at night now knowing that.
Okay, I'd watch that. Florida football's good football. There's a lot of talent down there.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's good.
But I mean, I'm just saying, because I know most people around here don't care about college football.
True.
Right? Do you watch it?
Yes.
You do?
Not addicted to it, but okay. I like a good Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. Good. I like to watch football. Yeah, I like to have that ability.
With me, like after the next Saturday, because I'll be in Orlando, obviously. I'll be doing, hopefully, our show from Orlando once Chris Curtis gets me in studio down at Entercom Orlando. Like on a typical Saturday, you know, we'll do the show, but I am addicted to games and everything. Oh, by the way, in case you are gambling and you're at Twin River Casino or somewhere tonight, handicapper extraordinaire Lee Sterling gave out his pick for tonight over on the Patriots-Titans games, over 41. So go with the total.
Over 41.
Yeah. So check it out.
Last week, Patriots scored 31. This week, they have Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But the receivers are banged up.
Yeah.
And the Patriots' defense is good, and they're going to have more of their defense on the field. What's the total?
41. Go over.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'd take the under.
Yeah.
Give me the under.
Well, I'm going to go with the handicap. I'm going to go with the guy who gets paid to do
it. Why? He told everybody else to take the over. Isn't that how those guys work? They tell half the audience one thing and half the other.
Those are scam decappers.
You frauds.
Those are scam decappers, not handicappers. Let's go back to the phones and speak to James in Norwich. Go ahead, James.
Good afternoon, Mr. James and Mr. Hart.
Hey. What's up?
I wanted to add on to, or at least bring up another point with alcoholism and gambling. Now, my father wasn't as an alcoholic and a compulsive gambler and all of that stuff, and did all that when I was growing up. And I don't drink very much. I'm lucky if I have a drink once a month. Okay, just like you, Mr. Hart.
Yep. I drink.
But the only problem is, matter of fact, I know I got a problem gambling because I listen to Mark James all the time with all of his tips, and it kills me.
Yes, you do have a problem. If you listen to him, you're a bad gambler.
James, eight straight winning seasons, man. Stick with me, dude. I'll make you some money this year.
But the point I wanted to get at is the caller last couple calls ago. I mean, it's easy to have rose-colored glasses when you don't experience anything or you don't have a background. It's easy to throw stones at glass houses.
Yep.
If you don't have one yourself. And he was just making, he wasn't really making sense because he kept on saying there's absolute, just say no. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It just doesn't work that way.
He was sort of ignorant, I think, of the way it works for a lot of people. And that's fine. I think there's definitely a portion of the population out there that, as you know, they don't come across it in their everyday lives. They aren't forced to think about it, you know, just because that guy's an alcoholic, he's a bad person. Well, my brother's an alcoholic. You know what I mean? My son's an alcoholic. Well, I know he's not a bad person. So now I have to rethink my stance on alcoholics in general because someone close to me. And it often takes that for some people to really look at the situation deeper and more closely. And so it's not his fault, but he definitely has, I think, an interesting viewpoint that's limited.
I think like cancer, like everybody probably knows someone who knows someone that has substance abuse or has had a substance abuse problem. It's pretty prevalent throughout society.
I think if it's a person you didn't like to begin with and they're an alcoholic or have a gambling problem, you think, oh, well, he's a jerk anyway. That's typical of him. He's an alcoholic. You know what I mean? But if it's a person you really like and you really are, and then you find out, oh, he's an alcoholic. Now I have to reevaluate because I like that person. It's a positive. I know he's a good person, and yet he has an issue. So you have to reevaluate the way you approach the whole issue.
Danny and Quincy. Hello, Danny.
I'm going to bring it back to football.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it, Danny.
I'm not going to lead you down that road to let you know that Brady's more important than Patriots' success. I'm not going to do it, Danny.
All right. First of all, what are you worried about? When you say you don't trust Josh Gordon, what are you worried about? If he becomes absent from the team, what are you worried about?
That you don't have enough receivers to be good?
Oh, here we go again. Okay, first of all, Bill Belichick, he manages his team like a mechanic. Every single team in the NFL comes in broken from the week before. He is the best at plugging in and coaching up players on a 16-week schedule, number one, because you have to be, because every team is broken. He's the mechanic. If Gordon goes down, they'll find somebody else. And by the way, taking away reps, Andy,
yes,
from like Edelman or another player, best thing that happened to Edelman was he got suspended for 4 games. The best thing that happened for Brady was he got suspended for 4 games. It helped him. It helped the team. Because in a perfect world, I believe Belichick will, if he could, without any pushback from the player, would actually bench players to save them through a 16-game season.
Yeah, but what about young players and newcomers? That makes no sense. I'm talking about reps for N'Keal Harry. I'm talking about reps for Jacoby Myers. I'm talking about reps for Dontrell Inman that he could take
Braxton
away.
Braxton Berrios.
Guys that are new and have never... Yeah, I don't think Tom Brady and Julian Edelman need any reps.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is Belichick is factored in. He doesn't depend on any one player. That's why he doesn't pick players, Marky Mark, with concentrated talent. He picks players who can do a multitude of things if they become necessary to do a multitude of things. That's why you always complain about him picking bad talent or lesser talent over this guy and that guy. Josh Gordon contributed last year. He was the leading receiver for his time spent on the team.
He
for
was.
Brady.
Yep.
And then when he went out, they switched. They went defense. You should always go defense. I'm not saying that. But the defense developed. They went running game, And by the way, they didn't need Tom Brady to be Mr. Stat Guy. He performed in the clutch. He actually reverted to what he was in 2001, if you want to know the truth about it, last year. And they won a Super Bowl. So what are you worried about? I'll ask my question again. What are you worried about with Josh Gordon?
Wait, again.
Listen to the guy. They got nothing to lose by bringing this guy back.
Well, so it is a low-risk, high-reward proposition.
Sure, but if you, again, invest in him and count on him and then he's gone at the wrong time, you have something to lose.
Yeah.
What happened? So what is the wrong time?
When you need Danny, him. Big game, playoffs, Super Bowl.
Danny, last year, he was out with the final two regular season games in the whole playoffs.
So did that hurt him?
Nope. They went undefeated.
So was that the wrong time? Did he go down at the right time, I think?
Wait, but was it
last year?
But Danny,
so you think that's ideal?
So you think that's ideal?
So you think that's ideal?
Everybody was whipping Belichick for bringing the guy in. See, I told you.
Nobody was whipping Belichick. When was the last time Belichick got whipped around here?
Yeah.
Come on, Danny.
He gets whipped. You guys
hate
him.
Oh, boy. Voices in your head. You better go.
Well,
the Malcolm.
Rocky Mark James hates Belichick.
No, I don't.
You all freaking hate him.
No, I don't.
The quarterback over the coach every time.
Well, doesn't mean I hate Belichick, Danny.
He's the best at what he does in a 16-game season where you have to overcome attrition. That is his number one obstacle in football and coaching a football team in the NFL. Overcoming attrition.
Which is why if you start with no receivers, you're really screwed because
really,
when you have attrition.
No receiver. Every year I hear the same crap. You can set your clock by it. I could be
can
stuck
you?
On an island without a calendar and I would hear, in a way, if I had a radio, Tom Brady doesn't have any weapons.
So you think this
Tom
is
Brady
the same? You think this is
Tom
the same?
Brady this year. They surrounded him with nothing.
So it's you're as ignorant as the guy who doesn't believe in addiction.
You can set your clock
right.
by it.
So, and you can set your clock by people who would just defend him no matter what because they're not looking at reason. Because if you don't agree that Chris Hogan is gone and you don't agree that Rob Gronkowski's gone, then you're blinder than I think you are, you nitwit.
You do it every year. It's the same stuff.
Who's you? You have no idea what I do every year.
I listen to you, IndyCard, all the time.
IndyCard? You don't even know
all
my name,
time.
Nitwit, Danny.
You're a snarky SOB, and when you all I like you. Don't get me wrong.
You're a snarky SOB, but I like you, Danny, too. No, you think this year is the same as last year, then you're not being honest.
This would have gone forever.
I know, I like it.
I love Danny. Love Danny and Quincy. He's good.
He can't acknowledge that Gronk is gone and Gronk was here last year. He can't acknowledge that Chris Hogan was gone and was here last year. I'm not saying Chris Hogan was great.
Right.
But he had completed passes with Tom Brady. He had been a contributing receiver. Remember that AFC title game he had where he had like Julio Jones numbers, yeah. 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. You think that Dontrell Inman's just going to come right in and do that? He may. I'm not saying he can't. But if you don't think this year is different than some years, then you're not being
honest. Well, even though the last two seasons, we all will admit, Gronk wasn't the Gronk he was in the prime of his career, but just his presence was enough to account for double teams and teams completely revamping their defense. And by the way, how dominant was he against the Eagles in that Super Bowl?
And how key was he against the Chiefs and the Rams?
Huge.
He wasn't great, wire to wire all season. It was not all pro Gronk.
Hey, by the way, can I just say one thing, Danny? The next time Bill Belichick completes a pass or catches one will be the first. Wow. Don't ever forget it, Danny. And by the way, I haven't heard Marky Mark about a million times in my life. I never heard that one before. So you got me there on that one, Danny. I love
that. Isn't that a good nickname, though?
That's a great nickname. I wouldn't mind being part of the Wahlberg. They sell Wahlburgers beef now at the grocery store.
Marky Mark had a music career, a modeling underwear career, an acting career, an entrepreneurial career creating burgers with his family.
Amazing.
So that's a shot being compared to Marky Mark?
Hey, I'll take that.
You can't Marky Mark's job.
I agree with but
anything.
But I will tell you this, at least I don't leave Super Bowls at halftime. Oh! So with the team is trailing by, 17 points. All right, 617-779-7937. Marky Mark and Andy Card with you.
Right back to James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
There we go. Here we go. I got two. You know, if you're going to have one hit, this is, it's a good hit.
I'd love to have one hit.
It still holds up after all this time.
Better to be a one-hit wonder than a no-hit wonder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nas X. That'll be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's done well for himself. He needs another hit, though.
Does he? Or can he live off that forever?
Well, if he saves money, right, as long as he doesn't go to the Adrian Peterson School of Finance, he's fine. You know, that's it. 617-779-7937. Getting back to all your calls, Tom in Medford. Hey, thanks for holding, Tom.
Yeah, this is Tom from, I live in Draken.
Okay, well, we got it, regardless.
All right, I just wanted to tell you guys that I used to see my father in the kitchen leaning over on the counter on his elbow, listening to the Red Sox on the radio, and we had a TV in the living room. Well, I picked up his habit because I got you guys on my preset for the Red Sox and the Patriots, and I love it too. I love listening to a game on the radio more than watching it on TV, to tell you the truth.
Nice.
So it's so much better, you know?
Is it?
I'm hooked, and I work a lot, so it's always great when I'm in the truck to listen to the Red Sox and you guys. But, you know,
thanks.
I wanted to just touch on Belichick. Belichick is like a master chess player. You know, he goes to on the board and he puts things in different places, and when he loses something, he replaces it. I mean, he's the best. But getting back to the addiction, I wanted to tell you, I'm in recovery, but also I went to school and I was going to be a counselor. And I learned a really lot about addictions. And there's a book called the DSJM, I think it is. It's a manual that a psychiatrist and doctors use. And it has all the indications of what all the different things that mental health issues, like, you know, from schizophrenic to depression, to manic depression, to addiction. It has everything in there that they use to diagnose people. And they used to be in there for alcoholism and addiction. It was called a personality disorder because they didn't think it was a disease. But what they found out in the years after that, they changed it to a disease, alcoholism, drug addiction. Because what happens, and it happens with just about every addiction, is over a period of time of drinking and or drugging, especially like drugs like cocaine, what happens is the brain is electric. It's chemical electricity that makes it function. What happens when you take drugs and alcohol for a long period of time, it misfires and rewires your brain in such a way that it has what they call an interference with what they call euphoric recall. So to describe euphoric recall is, one time I went vegetarian.
Okay, Tom. Tom, listen. So basically what you're saying is that it is a disease, bottom line, right, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. I wasn't sure where he was going on that.
He was a little far afield and very.
But he was.
He likes to listen to the Red Sox, though, so we appreciate that.
We do. Let's go to Todd in Leominster. What's up, Todd?
Hey, man. What's up?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys hearing me?
Yes. Yes, Todd.
You hearing us?
Yeah, okay. I have a bunch of things I'd like to talk about.
Big two.
First of all, it goes back to with Wiggy with. Blacks and whites. I don't know if you guys are into that right now, but
Todd, I gotta let you go. I don't
Wait,
know.
You're not into blacks and whites?
I just don't know where he was going.
What do you mean by that, Mark?
It was scaring me. He was scaring me. He was just. I don't know where that was going.
Marijuana is legal in the state. Just remember that.
Some other drugs are not, and I have a feeling
he
might have partaken in some drugs that were not legal. 617-779-7937. We got 3 hours down, one more to go. Your phone calls after a quick timeout on Mark and Hart.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.